This is the Sound of Small Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm JP Davidson, and these are the inspiring stories and hard-earned lessons of successful Canadian entrepreneurs. The RBC Small Biz Panel Series features business owners and experts sharing their experiences and providing advice to entrepreneurs across Canada. In this episode, we're looking at what it takes to get your business online and make a best first impression. Let's meet the panel and hear their take on the importance of search engine optimization, tips for engaging in e-commerce, plus the top three things you absolutely need on your business website. You'll be hearing from Leo Desautels, the owner and founder of OutdoorCovers.ca, Kathy Young-Keefe, co-inventor of Envy, the anti-aging wellness pillow, and Doram Hadib, Vice President of New Media Sales at Web.com, a leading provider of internet services for small businesses. To start, here's what you should consider when going online from panel moderator and Vice President of Small Business at RBC, Sarah Adams.
Well, since our discussion is all about getting business online, I thought it would be helpful to share some stats with you to really speak to how important our dialogue is. According to the 2015.ca factbook produced by the Canadian Internet Registration Authority, just 42% of small businesses in Canada currently have a website. And as a nation, we are heavy internet users. I know I am. According to the same CIRA report, with nearly 87% of Canadian households connected to the internet, we visit on average 3,000 web pages per month and spend over 34 hours per month online. So, Doram, as our industry expert, how does one start?
Sure. Simple questions we arm our customers with when they're getting started. You know, what are your goals? And you don't have to look further than your business plan, what you do, who you do it for, what makes you unique and special. Those elements you should make sure you carry forward everywhere you choose to present yourself online. That consistency is really important. You know, how much should I spend, especially when I'm getting started? Should I do this myself, or should I seek out help or a partner of some type? If I do get the work done and I don't like what I see, especially if we're talking about a website that represents your credibility and reflects the quality of the work that you want to put out there, do I have recourse to make edits and modifications, especially before it goes live? The other thing is, no matter what you do, make sure everything that you do online is in your name. So you hold the keys from the domain name to the hosting, to the website, the ability to go in and make edits. It's in your name as the business owner of the business, and your username. So make sure you've got a trusted partner, whether it be internal or external.
Kathy and Leo, I know being online is critical to both your businesses.
Yes.
In fact, that's really kind of the value proposition that you present. So maybe Kathy, if you could start just talking about how it was part of your business plan.
So when we first started out, we launched our website in 2009 and we outsourced it. And so once it was there, it was static. You know, you had the content and everything there and the information, but we couldn't go in there and change things if we wanted to. And we have actually like an authorized dealers page, for instance, where we want to add clinics.
And this is critical content. For
critical
you.
Content. Yeah. And so we're saying, could you please add this? And, you know, well, you know, we'll do that next week.
Or, oh,
or that'll cost you so much to do that.
Yeah.
And so that became a huge frustration for us. So that's when I actually approached Kim about it and said, let's just make our own website. Let's not outsource this anymore. And I think I spent the weekend with her making the website the whole weekend. We had the content. Yeah. We just had to bring it over, pick a template. Yeah, it came with everything, the hosting, you know, everything that you do. But it's a huge project to do, but it's worth it. If you have the time of day to do it for a weekend, it can be done.
So Leo, I know you're online,
your
e-commerce. A lot of people had asked questions around like, how do I even start? Like, what do I pick? You know, do I go through Facebook? Do I need a website? So what was your story? How did you make those decisions?
The first thing foremost is deciding if you're going to operate a small business is how do you want to function? Do you want to be bricks and mortar? Do you want to be online? Do you want to be both? Personally, I'd love to be both. But the reality is saying in this world that I really want it to be online first and foremost. 10, 20 years ago, you'd do it the other way around for sure. But online to me is the way to go. You need a website.
So definitely first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. So, but you need that concept as to where you want to go with a website and what you want to be. So I think you have to vet that out. You have to understand where you want to go. Because if you put a lot of stuff out there and it's not good, then you're going to a little bit pay the price until you can regroup again.
Mm-hmm, right.
So in my case, I took the time to plan it out a little bit longer. So I didn't go live right away. I really spent the first year researching, understanding. I bought a domain name right away. Mm-hmm. I decided what my company name was going to be. I went out there,
Excellent.
Says, I got the domain name. Okay, yeah. Boom. I sat on that domain name for months. But that's okay. It's not expensive. It's not an expensive game to get into.
And that's important.
So
yes.
I did that. Bought the domain name, which coincided with my business name. So outdoorcovers.ca, Outdoor Covers Canada. Legally, that's what I am, right? So it fits. And I picked a domain name that people can relate to.
Yeah.
So you really have to think about it and vet it all out. And the other part is understanding where it is you want to be and what you want to represent. So I wanted to make sure I vetted that out first. And I'd never done my own website before. Again, deer in headlights.
Yeah.
How do I do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you can get help from resources like web.com, and they will help you through the process and get it done the way you want to. But I also wanted control myself because I'm that kind of a person. I want to make sure I'd be able to control everything that I do.
Not
so I learned.
That's entrepreneurs are like that.
Yes, we were talking about that earlier, right? I want that. At the end of the day, spend the time, learn it. You're not going to learn it overnight. It takes a while to get it, but you will. The fact is you will. Just take the time to do it and you'll get there.
I can't tell you how interesting it is to hear these experiences. And I'm sorry you had such difficulty starting out, but it's not uncommon.
It was before your time.
Yeah, no, and to hear Leo on it was an uphill battle. And I just think it's so important for the small business owners listening to hear that and to inform their next step. You know, when we talk to small businesses and the importance of that first 7 to 10 seconds as someone lands on your website, so many things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're establishing your credibility. You're setting the bar in terms of the quality that you're offering. And you're holding their attention because the clock starts ticking the moment they land on your site.
Yeah. And it's important, by the way, that as you get onto that website, that you don't lose them right away.
Right.
Because I think there's some statistics out there that tell you that if you haven't captured them within like 15, 25 seconds, you've lost them.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
Your website is often the first point of contact for prospective customers, so it has to make a great first impression and advance the goals of your business. But of course, helping customers find your website is just as crucial. That's where search engines come in.
There's a lot of debate about how do I make sure that I'm up there in terms of my ranking. Duran, maybe you could share a little bit about what your recommendations are there.
Sure. And the simple term for that is search engine optimization. So being found for when that consumer is typing in what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And the applications of that are both on your website and on your social media platforms and on any directories or business directories, Google My Business, Bing. So an example of a website that you've worked with someone who knows what they're doing and that not only are they writing copy for each page that reflects what you do, but they're weaving in an appropriate density, they call it, of keywords and keyword phrases. And that really is just the language that your customers use when they need something.
Mm-hmm.
The language that they're putting into that Google box. So that's one side, SEO, and that's a big topic. The other one is local search.
Yes.
And local search is becoming more and more prominent. In fact, Google gives it considerable real estate. We all know what it is, but we might not know it by name, but it's when you type in that need and what presents is a map with some pins.
Yes.
And three local businesses that match that need.
Mm-hmm.
And so those listings are called the Google My Business directories, and those are free. So you talk about SEO and other optimization efforts, those all come at a cost. You can do it yourself, of course, but they're not without their complexity. But the directory listings are free.
Mm-hmm.
And so go out and claim them and just know that you're going to be there in that mobile search and that functionality to click through to call is there.
Yeah.
And then what I love is that, you know, you click the directions and it pushes to your map and you put it up on the dash and you just listen to your phone and you get there and they're going to find you.
Helping customers find your brick and mortar store is one thing, but more and more retail is happening directly online. What advice can our panelists share from their experience selling online?
There's a lot of talk about e-commerce. How do I do it? Any advice that you can provide?
Well, I know that when we first started out, we went just to PayPal. This is when you're just starting. We would get the order, we'd put in the packing slip, we'd print out the shipping label, we'd slap it on, and we'd mail it ourselves. But of course, like everything grows, and Now we have a logistics company that does all that for us. Yeah. But I do think PayPal has its limitations. We noticed a big jump in sales when we went with a merchant processing company that would accept major credit cards. And that was another. Everything is like steps and steps, and don't do it all at once. Yeah. But that's how we did it. But the product page is paramount because, as you say, people want the information right away when they're on your website.
It's in the moment.
You might want to catch them then. But once they decide, and they have decided when they go to your product page, they have decided they want a ton of information. Yes. They want to know everything possible. So that's where we put a lot of videos, testimonials, pictures. And that's the best advice for e-commerce for
Smart.
Me.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And from our point of view, e-commerce was really important right off the bat because I sell products and sell a lot of different products. So our website base or host works together with payment solutions. Yeah. So right off the top, I could take all three major credit cards and PayPal. Good. And I also later on can do it with Square as well. So it all comes very simply and very easily, and all ties into RBC because it all ties in through our payment solutions company, which is partially owned by RBC. So it really links in together, and it's pretty seamless. It's pretty easy.
Yes.
So that first part of launching, it was kind of fearful. All these credit cards, all this. Once you learn that within the website providers and the hosts, there are tools in there that make it quite easy for you to use.
Yeah.
You just ask them the questions. They'll help you walk you through it, and you subscribe to these things. But I must say, it's really important. Canadian consumers lagged a little bit behind in e-commerce, one of the key reasons that they didn't trust it.
Yes.
And so it's really important that you build that trust. And one of the things that you got to do is make sure that how you're taking in payments is very secure. So you got to make sure that the payment solution systems are secure and are trustable, and that helps build that credibility and the confidence in your consumers that they'll shop on your website.
Our panelists have a lot of experience using their websites to sell products, promote their businesses, and build their customer base. Here are their top three tips for what absolutely must be included on your business website.
Top three. So if you can only have three, what would they be? This is like rapid fire here.
I don't know if I can do three, but I'm going to start because it'll just come. But I think the first thing you have to make sure you do on a website is tell the problem. What is the problem you're selling? And that is the first thing. Like you can't just say, I got a pillow. We say, we have the one pillow that will solve this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing I think you need to do. Another thing I think you need to do is make it really simple whenever they do decide to buy, to click on buy now, buy now.
Yeah.
And need help? Have a question? Make that very simple. We have just recently added a live chat.
I was going to say, it popped up today
for
me.
And you know what? Yeah. To be honest with you, the more live chats we get, the more I realize I'm missing something on the website.
Yeah.
And when they ask a question, I go,
It almost gives you the trigger.
Yep. I got to add that to the website. And so I like the live chat. Some people might go, that just ties me down too much, but you can set it to be at, you know, certain hours
that you're
available.
Or if you're on for a period of time or you click on something. Yeah.
Absolutely. So a contact us is very important, but really prominent, like so that they can see the number, they can see, press this button for an email. Yeah.
Leo.
I'll add to that, like all of us, when you land somewhere, you pretty quickly like it or don't like it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty important that your landing page is strong, is not cluttered, provides a clear message, whether it be a need or a gap or something that, hey, this solves my problem, that it's really important that they land well. Next thing to me is it's got to be easily navigatable.
Yeah.
So can you see easily, I want to go somewhere, I can go here. Obviously, it has to be easy to buy as well. But the other thing is the imagery. And we were talking about this earlier in the room, that images and photography is quality stuff is really important. Because it really is important for all people to be able to land something and say, hey, this looks cool. Hey, let's face it, we like pretty things.
Yeah.
And so by making it navigatable and attractive, it adds to your credibility. and people were more likely to shop.
Visual is important. So Duram, if someone called web.com, what would the top three things for their website be?
First off, I have to give Kathy and Leo a big A+ on their feedback.
Nice.
I'm going to repeat a lot of what they said. The value proposition, you know, your problem statement, making sure that is right front and center.
Yes.
And the visual that might bring that value proposition to life. Because you can say something, but the image is going to bring and punctuate that. So I tie those two together. Clear call to action. Mm-hmm. If it's request a quote or request a consultation or shop, that call to action should be prominent, especially on a small business website. And then contact information, because depending on from one customer to the next, they're going to be comfortable via chat or they're going to want to phone, or they don't have time now and they just want to enter their question by email. We just did a redo for a golf and country club. And you know, their problem was their website didn't represent an important aspect of their business, which was the banquet, wedding, and corporate facilities. Oh. You land on their website, attractive, great photos, but the orientation is around golf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The call to action is book tee times. Mm-hmm. The menu is oriented around golf. Mm-hmm. I mean, all great, but an important aspect of their business was being ignored. The revamp, balanced the focus, book your wedding, book your corporate events, and there's a balance there now.
This has been The Sound of Small Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. For more advice and stories of small business success, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or search for The Sound of Small Business wherever you find podcasts. Our next episode will focus on growing your business online. And visit rbc.com/buildingbusiness, where you can find advice and tips on how to start, manage, or grow your business. Thanks for listening. This podcast series is intended as general information only and is not to be relied upon as constituting legal or other professional advice. No endorsement of any third parties or their advice, opinions, information, products, or services is expressly given or implied by the Royal Bank of Canada or any of its subsidiaries.